Welcome to another heart-wrenching, backstabbing, vengeful episode of the Atomic-Powered Supercast with your hosts Andrew, David, and Jen. This week, our topic is Prelude to Planet Hulk by Daniel Wei. And now, the cast begins.
Okay, everybody, welcome to another smashing episode of the Atomic Powered Supercast.
Kapow!
My name is Andy, and I'm hanging out with Jen.
Hello!
And David.
Hey.
And this week we read Incredible Hulk, Prelude to Planet Hulk.
Dun dun dun.
Shit's gonna come. It's Planet Hulk. It's about to be here. Anyway, this week we read Incredible Hulk from 2005, issues 88 to 91.
And yes,
Hulk,
we did.
Hulk got fucking launched out of space.
Oh, man.
Jumping straight to the ending again with this one. So, okay. Starters. I like Hulk in Alaska.
Yeah.
We were talking about Beard Hulk earlier.
Oh, yeah?
In the room.
Oh, man. Beard Hulk's great.
I want him to be his own Hulk. Like, and he can fight Normal Hulk and Red Hulk and Orange Hulk and all the other Hulks. And they can just... But there needs to be a Beard Hulk.
See, and my question is, too... He's, like, basically impervious, right?
Hulk.
And, like, whenever he gets, like, hit or whatever, he still has hair. So is his beard, like, indestructible hair? Could you, like, could he possibly even shave that off as the Hulk? It'd be impossible, right? It would break the razor.
Well, we've seen parts where some of his hair gets burned off.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So if he wants to shave... As the Hulk, he has to take a flamethrower to the face.
Or maybe maybe his Hulk strength would let him, like, rip it out. That sounds really painful.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. Do not try to rip out your facial hair.
I like him up in Alaska with the other bears, and the whole description of, like, all the bears just come together and hang out, all of us monsters, with the general troops. And then you're like, bear, motherfucking Hulk, fishing with his bare hands.
I get it, bear.
Yeah, bare hands.
The bear makes such a good face at the Hulk. He walks up to it and it's like, mm-hmm. And then he gives it a bunch of fish.
But then we get the reveal that the entire town, was all SHIELD agents?
I think it was just the pilot guy.
Just the pilot?
Like his only friend.
Dick move, Nick.
That's gotta suck, though. Like, no one wants to be friends with you except the guy who is paid by Nick Fury to do so.
But I think that's what he wants. I mean, Bruce doesn't want friends.
Yeah, that's why he doesn't want to go to the band practice or whatever.
Yeah. But still, it's got to sting.
Dude, and that sucked, because I'm like, alright, cool, Bruce, it's fine, you're up there, you're hanging out on your own, keeping to yourself, but, you know... Nothing wrong with going out and getting a beer or two. It's fine. You're not an angry drunk. You're just drunk. At least Bruce isn't an angry drunk. And then he goes, and the first fucking interaction he has, other than with his friend, is the guy at the door being a fucking asshole.
Yeah.
Entry's $5. I only got a 10. Yeah, you heard right. Entry was $10, didn't you? Way to be a dick.
Yeah.
Well, that he's like some freaking redneck.
Yeah,
well, and then you Alaskan redneck.
And then I like it too because when Bruce Banner gets in there, he's confronted with all the things that frustrate me when I go to a bar or a club. Now this is gonna make me sound like an old man, but you go in there, you can't hear the people that you went in there with. The beer is fucking expensive. The band is shitty. Like, it's all just things that are gonna annoy him and make him angry. I'm like, okay, now I understand why you never went for that beer. Well, you were so goddamn reluctant.
Man, and the thing that happens to that girl later, that set the tone for all of this, I think. Because, you know, you see Beard Hulk, and the bear, and the fish, and the beautiful Alaskan wilderness, you're like, oh, this is okay. It made me think of Wolverine dicking around in the woods.
Yeah.
And then, suddenly, he's stopping a rape, and he smashes a guy's head with his fist. And it was ultra, like, gory.
Yeah, there's, like, blood spray coming out from between his fingers.
Yes.
I did not expect that. Like, I always have viewed Hulk as kind of... Not a title directed at kids, but one, I guess, read by kids. Because I feel like I've seen so many little, like, 8 to 10-year-old boys be really enthusiastic. You know, they have the Hulk gloves, and it seems like there's mm-hmm. a huge... you know, appeal to fandom in that age group, because it's like smashing and that sort
and
of
you,
thing.
You bet there's going to be a big following now that after the Avengers movie.
Oh, yeah. But this was way darker.
Yeah, I think Hulk's a challenge. It's kind of a challenge because, like what you said, he's so simple, like, as far as his power set and things, that it's kids, it appeals to young people. But you have to write a comic that appeals to an older audience, too. And I'm not saying the older people want to see blood spray or ultra gore, but the Hulk is a really violent character. I don't think he's violence for violence's sake. I think he's just such a force of nature that it's like a byproduct.
I think it'd be impossible to write this character and not have there be insane violence like this. And I don't remember. It wasn't... He basically chucked one guy to the side, right? I'm assuming that guy's got a broken bone or two, but he's probably okay. And then he had his hand around the guy's head.
Yeah.
And then what happened? Something bugged him. I don't remember exactly.
What I'm looking
at. Somebody shot him.
Yeah, I'm kind of wondering if he didn't actually smash the guy's head, but the buddy shot the Hulk and his friend.
Oh, yeah,
I think that might be what happened.
My thought also might be that the Hulk just had the guy by the head and was just going to throw him aside, right? The same way he did the first guy, and then go rescue the woman, and then... Because he gets angrier, because he gets stronger, so he gets angrier. He had the guy by the head. He gets shot. It bugs him. He gets suddenly stronger, right? And his grip just increases that much more, right? Like, I don't think there was any intent in the Hulk, no matter how crazed he would be, for him to have killed that guy.
Yeah, I don't even know if he did, because if you look at the guy 2 pages later, he's on the ground. His head is completely intact. And he...
He's
hunched over, so I think his friend just shot him with a shotgun.
Yeah, on accident. Well, he meant to shoot the Hulk, but
yeah,
it was kind of purposeful.
Or he ricocheted off the Hulk and hit his friend.
Well, I mean, yeah, he meant to shoot. He was shooting at the Hulk, and his friend got
yeah,
was like collateral damage.
The shitty friend.
That seems to be a theme with the Hulk: shitty friends.
Yeah, fighting for friends doesn't quite happen here.
So then he gets called in by Nick Fury.
Yep.
Oh, freaking Nick Fury here.
You have to say it. Say it.
It's like Dick Fury, am I right? Am I right?
Dick Fury, get it? Because his name is Nick, but he's a dick.
Yeah. Oh, God. Is that going to be a thing now, explaining jokes?
It is right now.
All jokes are better if you have to explain them.
Really? I hadn't heard that.
So I like the ploy that gets him into outer space. The whole, Hydra built this thing, because he says, oh, Hydra built this thing, and now we can't find a way to bring it down. And knowing, because... Secret Warriors comes after this, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So knowing last week that S.H.I.E.L.D. is Hydra...
It's maybe true!
Maybe Hydra really did send it up.
Oh, man. Didn't even think of that.
Double irony against Nick Fury.
Just as a point of reference, this occurs around the same time as Annihilation, right?
No, this is way before... Yeah.
Okay.
That's correct. Kind of.
I think
believe it's close. Yeah, I think Annihilation is. Oh man, I think you're right.
Because I remember reading for one of the comics, or maybe it was Super Sized Hulk or whatever, Giant Sized Hulk, Volume 2. I think that said that it's meant to occur right before or after the events of Annihilation Silver Surfer, or. Wait, yeah, there was an Annihilation Silver Surfer, right? Not just Heroes of Galactus. It's so confusing.
Yeah, because this happens around the time of Civil War. So Civil War, Planet Hulk, and Annihilation kind of occurred around the same time.
Okay.
Because if you read Annihilation Conquest, there's a point where Nova goes back to Earth, and basically S.H.I.E.L.D. agents mob him, because he's a fugitive superhero who's not registered.
Yeah.
And they send a Venom after him, and he kicks the shit out of Venom, and then he tells Tony Stark to fuck off, and he goes back into space.
So, I'm a space cop. I don't need to register on this puny planet. Back the fuck up.
And I'm pretty sure that Nova, when he's, like, fully powered, all the Nova Force in him could probably fuck Tony Stark over.
Yes.
I see you're wearing a suit of armor. I could fly through spaceships.
How quaint.
Yeah.
So that's kind of our timeline. I guess that's kind of my thing with Marvel. With DC, you don't really need to know when things happen relative to each other. You can. I mean, it's useful, but I feel like Marvel, they have big events that directly affect their plots in more ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely true.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we also read the Illuminati one-shot, and we get Tony Stark talking about Hulk and Civil War stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Pre-Civil War.
So, Nick Fury in issue 89 reminds me of a Nazi. I don't know why. Like, the way his head is drawn.
Is that how Nazis look?
It's not particularly, like, Aryan.
That one looks really strange.
Maybe he looks like a drawing of a Nazi that I've seen in another comic. Or he kind of...
He does look very weird. I will agree with you there.
I think it's the strong jaw.
Yeah.
The strong jaw with like a weak... with the strong jaw with a thin skeletal structure in the cheek.
I think he reminds me of someone that I saw in X-Men First Class.
Which one was the Nazi? I mean, there were a lot of Nazis in X-Men First Class.
Well, Sebastian Shaw.
He was
a Nazi.
Yeah, he was a Nazi. Does he remind you of Shaw?
No. Like one of the random Nazis. Or like one of the random Nazis who were hanging out with Red Skull and Captain America. Maybe they just casted people who look very gaunt and imposing. But
yeah.
Here, Nick Fury looks very gaunt and imposing, and I don't know why he makes me think of Nazis.
He actually, in here, the way he's drawn, it reminds me of, crap, what the fuck is his name? Death Star, first one.
Oh, Grand Moff Tarkin?
Reminds me of Grand Moff Tarkin. Just with not enough gray hair.
Yeah, I can see that. It's the Widow's Peak.
Yeah, Tarkin's got one of those.
But this isn't how I picture Nick Fury. I think of him more as, like, Charlie from Charlie's Angels. You know, he's, like, commanding people and sitting back and doing spy shit. Or, like, the elusive man. But here, he's, like, super scary army guy.
Getting all militaristic in this.
Yeah, up in here.
So the space station was kind of weird, too. The was God's Eye? Thing.
I think that's what they called it at some point.
So I didn't quite get what was going on with what God's Eye was trying to do to Hulk. Like, Nick Fury explained it, but I still didn't grasp the idea. So was it trying to emulate for itself what had happened to Bruce Banner?
I think it was trying to, like... Yeah, it was kind of confusing. I thought that it was trying to, like, it could, like, adapt... It could adapt things like technology or energy sources to itself.
Mm-hmm.
So, is it trying to adapt Hulk's gamma powers to itself?
But it was like.
And that made it explode?
It was in two parts, right?
Because gamma's out of control.
I think they wrote it poorly, honestly.
Yeah,
because they were saying there's two parts to his power. He has his mutation and the aberrant radiation. It can absorb the radiation, but it can't do the mutation, because that's random. And then they were like, oh, but there's two parts to this, and one is the Hulk and the other is Bruce Banner, and it doesn't have its Bruce Banner half. And I was like, you're just conflating two things here. I don't know. I feel like that's a case of just let your audience suspend their disbelief and don't over-explain.
I think it was a little bit of over-explanation when really... We got into space, and all that happened was that the God's Eye created a big space technology monster-looking thing.
It made a fucking Geth.
Yeah.
They could have just said, like, oh, it has this robot that's the security system that, you know, it could have been a
that
lot.
That adapts and absorbs gamma power. Like,
yeah, because Nick Fury could have said, it could have been like, oh, there's a space station, and the security system's out of control, and we can't get any S.H.I.E.L.D. agents in there, so Hulk, you have to go fight the security system.
Mm-hmm.
See, but then it would have made Hulk angry enough. He was like, I have to lie to Hulk so that Hulk's angry enough. to survive in space.
But the part about being angry was that he told him it was Hydra, but it turned out to be a SHIELD. SHIELD satellite. Yeah. And he could have said that same lie, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like
it was
this
very
part.
It was loose, right?
Yeah. I kind of felt like they're like, well, we need to get him into space so we can start our real plot with the Illuminati sending him away and, you know, his peace being disturbed. So they're just kind of like, oh, what's in space? Satellites are in space. Let's put him there.
When really I get the feeling the God's Eye is perfectly happy sitting up there not doing anything so long as you don't fuck with it. Like, I get the feeling Chernobyl was in 89?
Yes.
I don't know. So, according to the timeline for this comic, like, the last time they tried was 15 years ago. So, this thing's obviously perfectly happy sitting up there doing nothing for, like, 20 years at a time. Right? And I get why it's a threat eventually. Probably going to be a threat. But, like, for now, just fucking let it chill. And I think it's the technological analog for the Hulk. Right? I mean, the Hulk is the same thing. He's super dangerous. Could destroy everything in the world at will. Just let him fucking hang out in Alaska. Just let him chill and he'll be fine. If you just let this satellite chill, it'll be okay. It just wants to... It's got AI, right? So it's got a really advanced self-perception. But it's just acting out of self-defense. You're going up there trying to fucking blow it the hell up. Of course it's going to do something to make you back off.
I don't know. Honestly, I didn't find this arc all that interesting.
Yeah. They could have taken the satellite thing completely out. Like, because the thing is...
Yeah, oh, sorry. Sorry.
You can capture Bruce Banner.
Yeah.
You can drug him, you can knock him out without necessarily, you know, getting the Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
So why not just do that and send him into space, and then he wakes up and he's like, what the fuck happened? I was just at a bar.
Yeah.
Like, what did I drink?
Right. Dude, super easy. You get... You do the, like, a Mystique kind of thing. Mystique in, what was it, X-Men 2? When she, like, gets all hot looking and then goes and drugs the guy with a beer and then shoots iron up his ass. Which was awesome. Like, you could just do that kind of a thing. Just get a hot chick, drug him, knock him out for, like, a day, and then boom, he's in space in the morning. Done. But I think you're right. I think this story isn't entirely compelling, I think, for me either, because it sort of embodies everything I had come to expect a Hulk story would be. And honestly, this is the first Hulk comic that I've read. But the entire time, I never picked one up. Because I always had assumptions that what a Hulk story would be. Like, it would always have Bruce Banner getting pulled out of some kind of quietude. He'd have found peace. Or he'd be, you know, like... Or even, like, in the Hulk movie, he was in, what was it, Brazil or something? Just kind of hanging out in, like, a factory. Like, in my mind, every Hulk story starts with the Hulk just kind of hanging out, being himself. Somebody coming and fucking with him and tricking him into going out there and turning into the Hulk when he doesn't need to be. And then him trying to smash his way out of a situation. And also it has something to do with gamma radiation. Something has to gamma something to him or do gamma to themselves to fight him. And like, that was all here. He was quiet. He got tricked. He tried to smash his way out. And oh yeah, gamma radiation. Like, satellite's going to do this, that, gamma thing. And we're going to use words that don't explain exactly what's going to happen, but gamma rays. You know? Remember how gamma rays are important because it's the Hulk? You know? Like, it had all of those pieces that I was entirely expecting it to have.
Well, at least you weren't let down.
It was one way of looking at it, yeah.
Yeah, then he, like, fights the robot on the moon, and... Why didn't he, like, punch his way out of the shuttle?
I think he was sad.
Well, yeah, because he was angry enough to survive in space fighting the satellite, right? But you figure he's probably pretty damn pissed in the shuttle, too, when they're playing that message.
Well, I don't think they played the message until he was kind of far away. I don't know, it was kind of strange.
Yeah, it didn't quite connect. But
well, I mean, the main part is that Hulk gets in the shuttle.
Yes. I think it's not a bad story, but it's entirely a setup.
Yeah.
It's just five issues of, we need to get Hulk into space so that we can do the story we really wanted to.
It was filler. I mean, I've seen worse filler for things, but I don't... I'd prefer real substance. And, I don't know. What gets me is I know that these writers are capable of substance, so I'm kind of like, you let me down, guys.
Yeah, I mean, Greg Pak is the one who wrote Planet Hulk, but The Prelude was written by Daniel Way, who is a pretty good writer, too. Like, he wrote, and they brought back the Deadpool series. Like, I think you read the Deadpool Secret Invasion stuff, right, where he's in this baseball stadium? Yes. It's great. He's a great writer. And so, like you said, this was just a setup to get to Planet Hulk, which is fine. Maybe they didn't have to spread it over four issues, though. You know?
Yeah, because getting him into space doesn't require four issues. We've already covered that. Getting him into space takes six panels.
Yeah.
maybe full page spread of when he gets knocked out, because then you could go, oh shit, they knocked him out. Like, maybe you could stretch it to, like, five pages if you want. But it doesn't really take that much.
I think the part that... of this... you know, the comics we read this week, the part that was more relevant was the Illuminati one-shot. It wasn't directly about Hulk, but it gave us... you know, it showed us who the villains were, right? We were introduced to the villains, which is... the Illuminati, you know, Iron Man, Doctor Strange, Mr. Fantastic, Black Bolt. Not really. No, Namor wasn't. He rejected this decision, and Charles Xavier wasn't there for it.
So, what do you guys think about this decision? I mean, from their perspective, they're trying to do what's right to the world by sending the Hulk out. Is it a good idea? I mean, if he had successfully gone to where they thought they were sending him, like, look, Bruce, we're giving you exactly what you want. We're sending you to a place full of wildlife. It's very pretty. You can just hang out and not fucking bug anybody. No, it's exactly what you've always wanted.
Terrible idea. And what bothers me is these guys are some of the smartest people on Earth. No doubt. And they're like, let's entrap him, which, you know, won't make him angry or hurt at all, and then send him out into space and hope he doesn't destroy the shuttle in his rage. And like, what dumb shit planned that? Really? You know, because what could have happened is they could have sent someone to Bruce Banner and said, we know you don't want to be a threat. We know that you want to protect people by not being around them. Outer space, would you like to go? And then he probably would have said yes.
Yeah, just be like, dude, I know you're here in Alaska, and I know it's working out great for you, but it still makes us fucking nervous. Because what if you're out here, and one of these bears that you like so much has rabies and fucking bites you in the leg, and then you go berserk and destroy half of Alaska?
Oh god, rabies Hulk.
Right, like, it's great that you're having a good time out here, but we're still nervous about you. And we found a place that has no intelligent life, plenty of stuff for you to hunt, no danger to anybody but yourself if you so choose to go berserk, you know, as if you have a choice for that. But, like, this is what you have right now, but even safer and better for everyone involved. Like, do you want to go? I agree. I'm sure Bruce would have said, yeah, sure, why not? Send some Twinkies every month and we'll be good.
It's so cruel, too, because what they do is they send the Hulk without any resources or supplies or anything, because, you know, he can survive, but... what if Bruce comes back out? Then you have this sad, puny man in the middle of the wild. How's he going to survive? That basically has doomed him to be the Hulk for the rest of his existence.
I don't know. Bruce is a pretty smart guy.
He's smart, but he's also... I mean, he's resourceful, but who knows actually what's on that planet. Is he going to be able to survive as not the Hulk?
Yeah, and we don't know if he's, like, outdoorsman. He knows about science-y stuff, but...
yeah. Yeah, or even then, like, what happens if you launch him in the spaceship and the spaceship gets hit by a meteor and, like, when it lands, it has some malfunctioning problem and it fucking explodes. And then the whole planet that you landed Hulk on is destroyed anyway. You know, like, there's so many things that could go wrong with this plan by tricking the Hulk.
Yeah.
And not making it a voluntary... just making it voluntary would have been so much better.
I mean, and that's what does go wrong. That's why he ends up not on this planet, I guess... that's a bit of a minor spoiler. But
he doesn't get to Peace Planet.
Yeah, because he goes into Angry Hulk mode and then smashes the navigation system. I don't know. I just feel like, okay, some random dumbass politician or spy or whatever could have thought that up, but not Reed Richards, Tony Stark,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, Black Bolt. It just doesn't make sense.
They just need another smart guy in the room. They need to make Hank Pym an Illuminati.
He would have just cried and hit somebody.
Jesus.
Only if it's a woman, though.
Ooh, Iceburn. Ant-Man.
So disappointing all around with Ant-Man.
God, I just... The Hulk is a good guy. Like, oh man. I feel like one thing that this prologue doesn't quite do that I would have really enjoyed would be to see more of that dichotomy between Bruce and the Hulk. Because a lot of the time, they're painted as, like, two very different people who are fighting with each other for control of the body. And that's, I think, that has potential to be really well done. But here, they're just kind of like, it's all Hulk all the time.
See, if they'd done that, I'd have hated it. Because really? That's another... So, on that list that I gave earlier of things that I expect to read in a Hulk comic, that's on the list, too. I expected to be Bruce Banner fighting with his own inner self about whether or not to become the Hulk and how it would save him from the situation, but he just goes out of control and it's dangerous. Like, I expected the whole Jekyll and Hyde kind of thing. You know, like, you get Jekyll going, God, I wish I could think my way out of the situation, but I just have to punch, so I'll drink this potion again tonight and turn into Hyde and go fucking murder some people. Like, no, you really don't.
I have some thoughts on that, but I'll save them for next week, because I think it's more applicable there.
Okay. Yeah, it's one of those things that I was expecting to come across, and it wasn't here, and I was kind of relieved by that. But I honestly was expecting a simple story, and we got a kind of simple story, but the whole Illuminati thing and them sending it off into this outer space adds another twist that I wasn't totally expecting, even though I probably should have. But like it adds a level of complexity to the Hulk that I didn't expect to get, because in my mind, he's a very simple character. He's Jekyll and Hyde, but superhero fight. Right?
I liked the sneakiness, though. I mean, as dumb as their plan was, they execute. I mean, it worked.
Yeah,
kind of.
It did work.
They got rid of him, if nothing else. Oh, I just feel so bad for him, because he's just like, ugh. They didn't even give him a chance.
My favorite part, though, is that they couldn't just send him out into outer space. They had to use him first. Like, well, if we're already sending him to space for something, let's make him useful while we do it.
It's like, hey, Hulk, you're fired, but before you go, we need you to just do all these things.
Yeah. You're fired tomorrow, but today, can you finish this project for us?
Pretty much.
And what sucks is he does. But he'd be like, he didn't know. It'd be like if one day your boss said, hey, I need this project done by 5. And then you come in at 9 and your boss fires you at 9:30. They're like, oh, why did I even get dressed this morning? Why did I even work yesterday? Fuck this.
Man, Nick Fury here. I feel like...
Well, that panel had a really sad-looking Hulk.
Yeah.
Sad Hulk.
I feel like Nick Fury is kind of the douchiest one of all in this. Because he's the one who, like... I mean, in one way, it's not douchey, because he actually had the guts to carry it out. He was there, but...
Do you think... Whose idea do you think it was to send him off? I don't think it was Nick Fury's idea
to
eject him
into
space.
I really want to blame Reed Richards.
Me too. I think Nick Fury, as much as he is afraid of the Hulk and what the Hulk can do, I think he realizes how useful of a tool the Hulk is.
I think Tony Stark probably talked Reed into it.
Hmm.
Because Reed is smart... He's, like, really, really smart, but I feel like he doesn't...
He
doesn't know how to apply his intelligence.
But he's also a monster. He would do something shitty like that.
I don't know. I don't know if Reed is as sociopathic as Tony is.
Yes, I think that's
okay,
what I'm
trying
to say. Tony's entirely removed from human emotion most of the time, right? He's just so self-concerned 95% of the time. He doesn't have an idea about other people's emotions. So that's why I agree with you. I bet Reed had the idea and was like, no, we can't do that. We can't do that to another person. And Tony's like, fuck yeah, we can. Let's boot his ass out of here.
Or I feel like, yeah, exactly. Like, Tony would be the one that's like, hey, I have this idea. And then Reed would be the one to think about how they're actually going to do it. After Tony convinces him it's the right thing to do.
Okay, yeah, I'd buy that.
Because I'm almost certain it wouldn't have been Nick Fury's idea. Because Nick Fury is all about knowing where the resources are and using them right.
Yeah, I bet if it was up to him, he'd be like, all right, thanks, Bruce. You can go back to Alaska now.
Yeah, go back to Alaska. I'll call you again in like a year and a half.
He's really good at manipulating people, too. So he seems like the type who could actually subdue the Hulk if he really needed to. It is kind of neat, though, that a lot of the time in this, Nick Fury is... He's like, I don't know what's going to happen. I'm just as worried about it as you are.
You're like, this is the one hero that's a complete wild card.
Mm-hmm. And it's kind of neat because it's one of the few times we see Nick Fury really out of control. Like, even when he loses S.H.I.E.L.D.
Sorry. I just thought of a line from the trailer of Tokyo Drift.
Oh, God. I know what line.
Yeah,
you have to lose control to get in control. What is it? Something like
I think
that?
He's the thing. It's if you're not out of control, you're not in control.
That's what it is. Sorry. You had an intellectual thing you were going to say, and I just threw Tokyo Drift into the middle of it.
Now I'm thinking of an unrelated SNL sketch. Okay, so...
Recovery mode. Get into recovery mode.
Nick Fury, it's one of the few times we see him out of control. And he, like, even when he loses all of S.H.I.E.L.D., he's like, okay, I'm gonna get a new army, I'm gonna get a new team, I'm gonna get everything together, and then rule the world with, you know, my Nick Fury powers. Like, yeah. His power is being Nick Fury. That is his superpower.
His power is being a badass.
And here he's kind of like, you know, God help us, let's hope it goes well.
Nick Fury is, like, smart. He knows that, okay, Hulk's the best tool for this job, but can't really keep him under control.
And, you know, and in that fight, there's only a couple, there's three or four outcomes, and only one of them is the one that they want, right? God's Eye pisses off Hulk. Hulk kills God's Eye. Hulk's still pissed, falls back to Earth, and starts beating shit up. Right? That's an outcome. Outcome is Hulk loses. God's Eye gets pissed. God's Eye nukes some motherfucking shit. Right? Like, if either side loses, whoever wins, there's a good chance shit's gonna get blown the fuck up. Like, there's a good chance for loss of life no matter what. There's, like, one outcome that works. And that's Hulk wins, and Hulk calms down enough or gets knocked out upon winning that he's malleable. That's the only outcome that works.
Poor Hulk. I feel so bad for him in this. His friends betrayed him. Like,
yeah, but they weren't
shitty
really.
Friends.
You know what, though? I don't think they were really his friends.
Well,
they're
obviously
like those,
not.
They're like those people that you work with a lot, you know, and you're like work acquaintances, but you don't really want to hang out with them outside of work because you get the, like, you're good working with them, but you get the feeling they're kind of douchey.
Yeah.
You know? I got a couple coworkers like that. Like, they're fine working with them, but you don't want to, like, hang out with them. You got a good professional relationship, and I think that's what they were. Hulk's like, I like you, Thor. You hit things hard, too. Let's hit things hard together. Like, I don't know if I want to hang out with you, though.
I feel like Thor and Hulk would hang out, though.
Yeah.
That was
Thor's
a bad
pretty
one.
Chill.
That'd be like Iron Man. Bruce Banner could not hang out with Tony Stark.
Yeah.
No way.
No.
Not at all.
Although they do at the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah, huh.
Yeah, but movie, not canon.
Yeah, no, the movie is so many years back from here.
Yeah.
We have to wait for them to start abusing each other first.
Sounds really inappropriate.
Do we want to write this one?
Yeah, this was kind of... I'd go first.
Yeah, go first.
I'm going to give this 2.5. It's like... It's very average in, like, every way. It's the averagest. That's not a word.
It is now.
Boom.
Nice. Jinx,
lexicon.
We're nerds.
Yeah. It's just really, I mean, like you said, it was standard Hulk affair. And it was, for standard fare, it was done pretty well.
Yeah.
And, you know, Hulk's kind of a tragic character all the time. And, you know, same thing happened here. First he was, you know, in Alaska, and he thought he was getting away from being the Hulk. And then he had to be a Hulk to save that lady. And then he's like, okay, well, that passed. And then he goes back to his little cabin, and then Nick Fury shows up. He's like, you gotta save the world, Hulk. And then he saves the world, and they're like, alright, dude.
Get the fuck out.
It's just, the writing was average, the art was fine. I don't have much to say about it. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's important because it leads us to where we want to go, which is the Planet Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
So, 2.5. I don't really have that much to say about it.
Yeah. Jen?
I'd give it a 3 with I'd read the rest, because, I mean, like last week we read exposition, it's the same thing, but this felt a little more engaging. I actually was pleasantly surprised by who the Hulk was, because even though it did follow the standard, you know, Hulk trope, it was an interesting character. He wasn't really just smashing. And I enjoyed that, I don't know, like, how dark it was, how cruel they were to him. And I think it was in the really shitty stuff that happens to Hulk or around Hulk that I realized I kind of liked this more than I thought I would. Just because, like I said earlier, I always thought this was kind of something more for kids, and I didn't expect it to be so grim dark in places. But yeah, I mean, I would definitely say I would keep reading. So, 3.
Good, because you have to keep reading for next week.
No choices.
I'm going to give it a 2.5, too. I mean, it does hit all of the things that I was expecting it to, which normally would bring it down, but I like the way that it does it. There are things that happen here that I didn't expect to encounter. Like, at the end, I really did question, like, did they make the right decision? I mean, it feels bad because by that point you've built up all the sympathy for Hulk, right? But you have to question. The Hulk is just like this satellite, and we didn't question at all that this satellite needed to be destroyed. But just because it's a piece of technology that you can't develop the same level of sympathy for, does it make it more or less right that we're doing the exact same thing to the Hulk? And I like that brings up that moral question, but it's a comic book, so it does it very briefly and then moves on. But then I like the way that it does slowly build up sympathy for the Hulk. Because in the beginning, like, you see the Hulk and you see him just wanting to hang out. And that doesn't elicit sympathy. And I think what does is the way that we see that Bruce Banner doesn't seem to have a problem becoming the Hulk. He'll become the Hulk to go catch salmon. You don't have to be the Hulk to catch salmon. You can have a fucking fishing rod to catch salmon. Right? Like, he obviously doesn't have a problem becoming Hulk. He has a problem with what happens when he is Hulk. You know? He doesn't have a problem becoming Hulk to save that woman. He would have a problem if he had killed that guy by smashing his head. That would cause so much grief and regret and anger. Like, that's the problem. Being Hulk is not the problem. And that unexpected sympathy that I get for Bruce through that, that's what, like, I did not expect to encounter. To get that sympathy for Hulk. I was expecting them to try and make me feel sad that this guy has an alter ego. And I'm like, well, fucking just chill. Just don't get angry. It's okay. But I didn't expect it to come that way. So that's why, like, it would have been lower, but I'm cool giving it a 2.5 just because it hit all the things I thought it would, but not in the way I thought it would. If that's a way to phrase it. So definitely worth reading. And it's worth reading if for nothing else that it gets you to Planet Hulk, which we'll get to next week, which I think is going to be fucking amazing. So yeah, I guess that's it for this week, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Alright, so the next week is Incredible Hulk, Planet Hulk. It's Hulk 92-105, and a little bit of Giant Size Hulk Volume 2, Number 1. A little bit in the trade is in there. Alright. So you can look up all the information about next week's episode and what we got lined up after that on the website, which is www.atomicpoweredsupercast.com. Or you can email us directly at
atomicpoweredsupercast@gmail.com.
Boom. And always, please talk to us on Twitter. It's short, it's easy, it's fast, and we like talking to you. It's twitter.com/APSupercast. That's at APSupercast. And I just realized none of you can see me do the little swirly thing with my hand where I draw the at symbol when I say that. So I thought I would explain it, because, you know, jokes are better when you explain them.
Was that a joke?
Not really. And you can also find us on
iTunes?
Yes.
And Facebook.
Yeah, there it is. You can go to Facebook and look for us there.
I think there's a link to our Facebook page from on our website.
Now. Oh, yeah. If you go to the website, there's a link to Facebook there. And if you post on Facebook, which I know more of you probably have Facebook than iTunes, or not iTunes, Twitter, whatever. Just friend us on Facebook, or us on Facebook, whatever the hell the button is.
It's a lonely, cold internet.
These internet things, I don't understand them. Okay.
Nice.
We should just finish this. I'm, running this into a train wreck. All right, everybody. Until next week.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Smashing.